Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. How's everybody? Everybody good? Hey, guess what today is? Somebody tell me what today is. It's Sunday. Who's glad to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen. How about those watching at home? Are glad to be somewhere in the Lord today? I mean, amen or thumbs up in the comments. Hey, guess what? I think y'all might like this message. Today's title is Make Way for the King. Make Way for the King. Are you ready for Him? Are you ready for Him? Are you living for Him? Are you living against Him? Well, guess what? If we're living our lives against the King, we better change. We better get straightened out.
Amen.
Because His coming is soon. Amen. And if He comes back and we're still on the wrong side, guess what? We've been messed up. We've been messed up. And ain't going to have no chance to correct it, are we?
No.
Once He comes back that second time, we won't have no chance. Amen. So I pray, one of my prayers today is that God tugs on our hearts if we need to get a little bit closer back to Him. Or even meet and have a relationship with Him the first time. Amen. So, make a way for the King. Our scripture today, the main one, is from Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. When you get there, give me an amen. When you get to Revelation 19, 11 through 16 online, give me a thumbs up or an amen. They're watching. And we'll go ahead and open with a word of prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, Lord, get Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to lead, guide, direct in my message, Lord. Lord, as always, may be your word spoken, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, your truth in your book, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your warnings to us any time that we may get off course, Jesus. And Lord, as always, I ask you, Lord, be with me through the rest of the service, Lord. May be your word spoken, not mine, Lord. May our heart, mind, and soul be messed or impressed with the blessing, Lord, of your coming again, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I ask you to be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Hey, how many of y'all know that we have countries around the world that have kings?
Amen.
That have kingships as part of them. There's a bunch. I'm not going to list all of them because I know I'll forget one or won't think of one. Or I'll say one that may not have a king no more.
Yeah.
That happens too. But think about that. In those countries around the world, think about that. Think about it. What do they do? What do they do that have the kings? The king, they're basically the king's subjects at that point. Well, it's not like here in the U.S. where we're all free citizens. Amen? If you live in the kingdom, everybody is the subject of the king of that kingdom. But they get excited, don't they? When they see the king coming around, they start jumping up and down, lining the road, waving at him, just going crazy in all sorts of manner, don't they? When their king's coming. Think about how they look forward to when their king's coming. They actually will take time off work, maybe doing other things, just to get in line to see their king that's coming in those countries. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've seen this a few weeks ago, we had a new crowning of a king in a country that had been with the same leader, which was the queen at the time, for what, 75 years? King Charles now sat in the background of his mom, Queen Elizabeth, for 50 years. 50 years until he got to step in that line. Until he got to be called king. Until really, someone was looking forward to seeing him come. Before, they would see him come, but they were just like, oh, he's just Prince Charles. He's important, but he ain't Queen Elizabeth, right? But now you got a crowd that's crowning their new king. After waiting in those years for all until his mom passed. Think about how many days. They wasn't days standing in line for hours. to wait for to see the new king drive by. They were standing in line for days, waiting for his coronation. And they were going crazy. Yelling. I'm sure they were yelling and shouting, all kinds of good stuff, right? Because they were excited as he was getting closer. He was going crazy as he was getting closer and closer. They were ready, weren't they? They were ready to line up the road side, multiple people deep. You know why they were ready? Because their king was coming. Their king was coming. And that's our theme here today with today's message. King, the king is coming. Are you ready for the king of glory today? Brothers and sisters in Christ, today we gather in anticipation of a glorious truth. The king is coming. I'm going to read you a scripture out of Revelation real fast. It says this, Revelation 19, 11 through 16. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice his judges and wages war. Or he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire. And on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed like fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fiery fury. Let me get that word right. He treads the winepress of the fury of wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written. He has that name written. Now we're going to come back to that scripture here in a little bit. But listen here. We gather today in anticipation of a glorious truth. And that truth is this. Our King is coming. Amen? Our King is coming. Our hearts rejoice, don't they? As we reflect on the promises of our Lord's return and the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. Let's delve into the scriptures, son, and allow our souls to be stirred with hope and readiness. Amen? I got four things for you that we're going to talk about. The first one is this. The promise of His coming. The promise of the King's coming. The Bible is replete with promises of our Savior's return. Jesus Himself even assured His disciples in John 14:3, saying, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also." The angels themselves proclaimed after His ascension in Acts 1:11. This Jesus, y'all hear that? This Jesus, who was taken up from us, or from you, and into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven. The second little mini point is this. The signs of His coming. So the first one was the promise of His coming. The second one, the signs of His coming. Throughout our scripture, we find signs that indicate the nearness of Christ's return. Jesus spoke of these signs in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, warning His disciples and us about wars, famines, earthquakes, persecutions. He described these events as birth pains, signaling the approaching climax of God's redemptive plan. Additionally, Jesus emphasizes the need for spiritual readiness, reminding us to remain watchful and faithful until He comes. And the third thing is this, the purpose of his calling. Our Lord, let me get that word right again. Our Lord's return serves as a twofold purpose. First, he will come and gather his church. That's us guys, right? That's us that have a relationship with him. Amen. Again, not if we're off in that relationship, but we have to have that true relationship, knowing that he truly is our Savior. But it describes him in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ," who? "And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." Whew. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty glorious event, ain't it? That's going to be fun when that happens. Amen. No, it's known as what? The rapture. That's known as the rapture. We'll unite believers with Christ forever. Amen. Second thing this thing does is our Lord will return visibly and triumphantly to establish his millennial kingdom on earth. Zechariah 14:9 says, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one, and his name one." During this reign, Christ will bring righteousness, peace, and justice to a world longing for his divine rule. And the fourth thing is this. It's a call to preparation. Considering Christ's imminent return, we are called to live a holy and purposeful lives. 2 Peter 3:11 and 12 says this. It reminds us, "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of our Lord?" Our anticipation of the King's return should motivate us. Our anticipation of knowing our King is coming should motivate us to live faithfully, to live diligently, to share the gospel with others, and investing in eternal treasures of God's kingdom, not worldly treasures, the treasures of Satan. Amen. In the book of Revelation, this is the final book. Revelation is the final book of the Bible. We receive a glimpse into the future, where we find hope, reassurance that our King is coming today. Today we're going to focus on Revelation 19:11-16, where the majestic return of our Lord Jesus Christ is described. This passage paints a vivid picture of the triumphal return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us be encouraged and inspired as we explore the implications of his return. The majestic appearance of the King, Revelation 19:11, begins with a vision of a magnificent sight. "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True." The description of the white horse symbolizes the purity, the victory, and righteousness. Our King, Christ Jesus, is not only faithful and true, but he comes as a conqueror, don't he? Ready to establish his reign. The names and attributes of the King in verse 12 reveals us the divine names and the attributes of the King. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. These descriptions convey the authority, the power, and the sovereignty of our Lord. His piercing out air gaze reveals His perfect judgment. While his crown symbolizes his dominion over all things, the name that no one knows signifies the infinite depths of his character, which we will continue to explore for eternity. The garments of the king in verse 13 speaks of the garments worn by our king. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The robe dipped in blood represents the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. His shed blood that cleanses us from our sin. It's a reminder of his ultimate sacrifice, his ultimate act of love for each one of us, and his ultimate act of redemption. Furthermore, his name, being the Word of God, emphasizes his authority as the living Word and the source of eternal truth. The armies of heaven. In verse 14 we read, the armies of heaven were following, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. We as believers, we have the privilege of being part of that heavenly host that accompanies our King. Our white garments represent the righteousness that was imputed to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. We're called to live in purity. We're called to live in holiness. Amen. Eagerly awaiting his return. And the king's righteous judgment is also in there. In verse 15 it declares, coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. When Jesus returns, he will execute righteous judgment on the ones that don't believe on him, putting an end to the evil and establishing his just and perfect rule. As his followers, we find comfort knowing that justice will prevail and every knee will bow before him. Let us heed the scripture's call today to watchfulness and readiness. Because you know why? Y'all know what the title is, right? The King is coming. His return is certain, isn't it? His promises will be fulfilled. May we live each day with a sense of urgency and expectation, eagerly awaiting the glorious day when our Lord Jesus will come back home. May our hearts be filled with joy and anticipation as we proclaim, come, Lord Jesus. The book of Revelation reveals the triumphant return of the King, of Jesus Christ. As we reflect on Revelation 19:11-16, we're reminded of his majesty, his names and attributes, his sacrifices, and his righteous judgment. This passage calls us to prepare our hearts to live in anticipation and eagerly await his glorious return. Let us walk in obedience, guys. All that us share that relationship with him. Let us walk in obedience. Let us be faithful witnesses until the day when we behold his face, when we see Jesus face to face, when we are in heaven with him. Amen. Remember, the King is coming. Are you ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your message today, Lord. Lord, again, I thank you for getting Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Lord, and allowing your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word spoken, not mine, Lord. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, just to press upon each one of us, Lord. Lord, the need that we have for you, Jesus. Lord, the fact that our time on earth is getting shorter every day we're here, Lord. Lord, again, none of us know when you're coming back, Lord. But the one thing we do know is that you are coming back, Lord. Lord, may you put a new passion in each one of our hearts today, Lord. Lord, to live for you today, Jesus. Lord, to live like you're coming back today or tomorrow. May we all strive to be faithful witnesses for you, Jesus. Lord, may you give us somebody this week, Lord, that we can put in touch with your love, your mercy, and your grace, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. In your name I pray. Amen.